Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Who are this season's top 50 NHL players? Find out on the Locked On NHL Podcast. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, and Rachel Donner reveal the top 50 players as voted on by our local experts across the Locked On NHL network of podcasts. Subscribe to the Locked On NHL Podcast on YouTube and turn on your notifications so that you never miss an episode. So, in today's episode of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, we are continuing off-season reports with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Tampa Bay Lightning is it's a little bit different doing their off-season reports compared to everyone else because, well, they won back-to-back Stanley Cups. And so, you're kind of playing with house money at that point, aren't you? But, in any case, they're probably going to be contenders again this year. So, you know, spoiler alert there. So, let's start things off. First line looks like Andre Palat. On the left side, and Palat's a solid all-around winger who thrived getting first-unit power play time with Nikita Kucherov out. And so that he's probably not going to have that opportunity next season now that Kucherov is back and healthy. But Palat has sort of established himself as a very reliable winger for the Lightning, who's not one of the guys who they count on to score a bunch, but he can score a bit and give them solid play otherwise. At center, we're looking at Braden Point, who has been very good in the regular season, had 94 points a few years back, so you know he can dial it up, but he has kind of kicked up his game in the playoffs too, was the leading playoff goal scorer last season, and could be poised for a monster year. With a healthy Kucherov on his wing for the entire season, you could very easily see Point kind of busting out and having his best offensive season. And Nikita Kucherov on the right side, who missed all of last regular season, and still, he came back and ran away with the playoff scoring race. He is one of the few legitimate 100-point threats in the league. He's done it twice, and in the 2019-2020 season that ended up being cut short, he was kind of right on pace for what would have been a third 100-point season. And so Kucherov and Point are really the dynamic duo here for the Lightning that drive a lot of their results. They are dominant on the power play, and that they're a big reason why Tampa Bay can expect to contend again this season. Now to the second line, still pretty good talent here. We've got Alex Killorn on the left side, who's been a reliable complimentary scorer, good for 40-plus points every year. Last season, he had 33 points in 58 games, and he can elevate his play in the postseason. He had 17 points in 19 playoff games last season. So Alex Killorn, well, at various times when the Lightning have been battling cap crunches, that there's been talk about whether that Killorn might move. He manages to keep sticking around, and the results have been working out as he's been a productive secondary scorer, and the Lightning obviously having lots of success. At center, we've got Anthony Cirelli, who's had kind of established his game as one of the top defensive forwards, and that he would be a Selke candidate on a yearly basis. But then last season had a wrist injury that really seemed to collapse his scoring, especially. But he did kind of rebound in the postseason. But his second half of last season, Cirelli was really unproductive, and it's sort of goes to show you that the Lightning, you know, as strong as they are, they could afford to have a guy like Cirelli, who was playing 17 minutes a night, just not contributing for them offensively, and it didn't matter. You know, they just kept rolling along. But I think with Yanni Gourde gone to Seattle in the expansion draft, expectations are going to be there for Cirelli this year, not only to provide his typical strong defensive play, but that he can put up some points offensively as well. And in part, that's because on one wing he's got Alex Killorn, on the other wing he's got Steven Stamkos. And, you know, Stamkos may not be the superstar that he was at his peak, but in the past two seasons he's played 95 games, he has 100 points. So, you know, we don't need to exactly bury Steven Stamkos. He's still a high-end finisher. He's got one of the best shots in the game that obviously plays really well on the power play when you can run Stamkos on one wing and Kucherov on the other and let them tee off. But when you go through that top six, that's a real strong point here for the Lightning, is that they should They should be able to compete with most teams, given that top six. Now we move to the third line, and this becomes much more interesting because, you know, the line that I guess, you know, de facto would have been considered the third line was Blake Coleman, Yanni Gourde, and Barkley Goodrow, and all three of those guys are gone. So moving into the vacancy, let's start with Matthew Joseph, who was a healthy scratch for a bunch of time in the postseason, but he's a blue-collar winger. Who has been able to score a little bit in his limited role with the Lightning and seems like a prime candidate to move into one of the third line vacancies. Then there's Ross Colton, who was a valuable fourth line scorer last season and I guess somewhat of a surprise that he did that. He scored the cup winning goal and might have an opportunity to step into the third line. I guess the question is whether Colton can actually play center. I know he's listed at center, but that wasn't a big part of his role as a rookie for the Lightning. And so I suppose it's fair enough to question whether or not you can just plug him in and have him be the third line center for the Lightning. But if that is a possibility, then you can. That does make things a little bit easier. If you have Joseph on one wing, you have Ross Colton in at center, and then how about Corey Perry on the right side? And you know, Perry has lost the past two Stanley Cup Finals against Tampa Bay, once playing with Dallas, once playing with Montreal, and he's obviously lost a step at this stage of his career. And yet he can still agitate, still drives hard to the front of the net, and knows what he's doing around the net. And so while Perry, you know, doesn't play big minutes, doesn't generate offense in the way that he did when he was, you know, a superstar. At the same time, you can look at him as a complimentary player and a pretty useful one who, if he ends up playing on the third line for Tampa Bay, great. If he ends up having to play on the fourth line, I think he's sort of established that he can do that too. And so I think there's, you know, a pretty reasonable spot to put him in as the third line right winger, at least in pencil right now, and then see how it plays out. And I guess one of the wild cards as we move to the fourth line is Alex Barré-Boulet, who is probably the rookie forward who's most likely to earn a spot. He had 3 goals in 15 games for the Lightning last year, has 136 points in 144 AHL games. And so you have to, I guess, expect that this is, you know, the prime opportunity to move up with all these players departing from the forward depth chart for the Lightning. So now there's an opportunity for Alex Barré-Boulet. And, you know, does he, it's certainly possible that he doesn't just step in on the fourth line. Maybe he's up on the third line. And so there's going to be something to watch there, I guess, in what kind of role is going to be there for Barré-Boulet. And I guess given how much he's produced in the American Hockey League, maybe a third line role is a feasible spot for him. At center, we could have Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, who has been a solid fourth line checker for Colorado and Vegas in the past couple of years. So he's played for contenders and now, you know, now kind of continues his role with a contending Tampa Bay team. He's totally fine as a fourth line center. And then we've got Patrick Maroon, who's, you know, provides the muscle on the team as a guy who can still play regularly. But at this stage of his career, he does seem to have sort of settled in as a fourth liner. But he also has a long history with John Cooper, which probably, you know, helps him have some measure of trust, you know, both ways, that the coaching staff trusts him and he trusts them as well. And Maroon has won 3 straight Stanley Cups. So, you know, maybe if you go over the course of his career, there probably seems to be somewhere where Patrick Maroon could have made more money. But I think in the end, he already has 3 Stanley Cups and continues to play for a cup contender. So, it's not all bad, that's for sure. So if that's the top 12 forwards for the Lightning, who else might be in the mix? Well, you probably have guys who have been sort of fringe AHL, NHL guys like Gemmell Smith and Charles Hudon coming back from Europe. That would be, you know, they might have an opportunity to squeeze in. And then you've got wingers Taylor Radish and Boris Katchuk, who have kind of been toiling in the American Hockey League for a few years, but finally last season seemed to kind of hit that level where their production was enough that you would think, okay, now's the time that these guys are ready for a look in the National Hockey League. And so as much as it's not easy to replace an entire third line, as it looks like the Lightning are going to do, it also looks like they probably have enough bodies to kind of throw at it to find some reasonable combination. And like if Matthew Joseph, Ross Colton, and Corey Perry doesn't work, well, maybe Alex Barré-Boulet moves in there. Maybe Radish or Kachuk move into one of those spots. And you know, you should be able to find some combination that makes it work. And really, if you get even passable play from the bottom six in Tampa Bay, that'll probably be enough because the top six should still be really great. So when we come back, we will check in on defense and goaltending as we continue through the Lightning. It's that time of year again. All eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest. That's open now at BetOnline. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today, receive a 100% welcome bonus, and be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. That is, make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. That's for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, from baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Tired of getting killed by daily fantasy sports experts? Don't play experts. Play the house with Stat Hero. Introducing Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes. Winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You are in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. And right now, you get three times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon. All right, so we've covered the forwards for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's take a look at the defense. And first up, Victor Hedman. Well, that's a pretty good place to start. Perennial Norris Trophy candidate. He won it in 2017-2018 and has been a finalist for five straight years. You can question whether or not he deserved to be a finalist last year. He was a leading contender kind of through the first half of the season, but suffered a knee injury, and that really led to mediocre play down the stretch. I think he probably benefited from his reputation a little bit. By getting included in the final three for defensemen last season. But overall, we know how good Victor Hedman can be, and he's probably going to be a Norris Trophy candidate again this season. His partner, usually, is Jan Ruda, who's mostly mediocre, veteran defenseman. He's an inexpensive partner you can play with Hedman. And I don't think Ruda has shown anything to make you think that, well, he's going to be able to handle a top four pairing where he's the lead guy, but where he's a complimentary piece alongside one of the best defensemen in the game, that's fine. Ryan McDonough, who has been a core piece of two Stanley Cup wins for the Lightning, but it's still a little surprising the Lightning were committed to keeping McDonough protected in the expansion draft. He's a 32-year-old who has 6 years left on his contract. And there may come a reckoning at some point with the Lightning, and McDonough might be part of it. But while they are in their Stanley Cup window, which they still are, it does make some sense to keep him because they're sort of, as much as the Lightning have this, high octane, high firepower offense, their defensive core is also a big part of why they are successful. And so I guess they felt like they can throw enough bodies at their holes up front to make things work. But they didn't want to try that for a top four spot on their defense. On the right side there, on the second pair, you've got Eric Chernak, who's a hard-hitting defenseman, plays an unheralded game, but a pretty valuable piece there for Tampa Bay. And he contributes a little bit offensively, hits a lot. I think he adds an element that the Tampa Bay certainly wants on their back end. Then there's Mikhail Sergachev, who, you know, as much as I guess theoretically he's a third pair guy behind Hedman and McDonough, he plays more than that. His ice time, Sergachev's ice time has been steadily increasing each year, has produced at least 30 points in four straight seasons, including a shortened season last year. So Sergachev is kind of a rising star on that Tampa Bay blue line, yet it's a little bit undercover because Hedman is, you know, in the Norris Trophy discussion, and McDonough's been around and playing big minutes in the NHL for a long time. So Sergachev does, you know, maybe fly under the radar a little bit in a way with Tampa Bay that he wouldn't with other teams. Then on the third pair, on the right side, we've got Zach Bogosian, who seems to have found a niche as like a third pair guy who can kill some penalties. And that's, you know, probably not what was expected when he was the third overall pick in 2008. But at this stage of his career, it gives him a chance to compete for cups. And he's got a couple of years here with Tampa Bay where he can, you know, provide. I mean, they're not asking a lot, really, of a third pair guy like Bogosian. And if he can contribute in that role, terrific. And if not, he ends up being a seventh defenseman. Well, then, you know, it worked out okay for Luke Shen too. So Bogosian should be, you know, better than Shen, but we'll see whether or not he holds a top six spot all year there. So then who are the depth options? And I guess the big challenger is Cal Foote, you know, who's a first round pick and got into 35 games for the Lightning last season, but hasn't had a huge impact yet in the NHL. So you don't know whether or not he's going to be able to secure that regular playing time. I mean, like I say, if he beats out Bogosian, well then, you know, that sort of changes things a little bit, and that might make sense to run Foote on the third pair there. But at the moment, it looks like he may be kind of positioned as the seventh defenseman. And if not, beyond that, maybe there's Frederick Claesson, who's, you know, bounced around a little bit, mostly in Ottawa, but he was also with San Jose before joining the Lightning. Not a huge impact player by any stretch, but if you're looking for a guy who can fill in for a few games at a time, Frederick Claesson can probably do that. Then to the goaltending. And, well, you know, if Andre Vasilevsky is not the best goaltender in the league, he's in the discussion. And, you know, and it's not just because he's led the league in wins for four straight seasons, because that's a team thing. But he handles a heavy workload and performs at a high level. He's also 27 years old, so he has many years left of being a primetime goaltender. And that's part of the reason that Tampa Bay remains a Stanley Cup contender. I mean, yes, they have great forwards. Yes, they have great D. They also have a great goaltender. And so no accident that this Lightning team is a contender. So backing up Vasilevsky, they've got Brian Elliott. And look, the Lightning do not invest much in their backup goaltender, you know, knowing that when it comes crunch time, Vasilevsky is the one who's going to play and play a lot. But Elliott's 36 years old. His past couple of seasons in Philadelphia have been pretty rough. And yet, he might be fine behind a strong team if, you know, in 15 to 20 starts. At least that's the hope for Tampa Bay. And if not, well, then they can, you know, worry about trying to acquire another backup goaltender. But Brian Elliott, you know, kind of gets a shot to fill in where Curtis McElhinney had been for the past couple of years. So there's your roster for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's a pretty good team, believe it or not. And when we come back, we will look at their special teams, any remaining needs, and some prospects before deciding are the Tampa Bay Lightning Cup contenders once again. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and there's something for everyone in all these flavors. Check out, they've got coconut and cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. That is a great variety of flavors, I have to say. I like salted caramel the best of those flavors, but if you haven't tried those flavors, get a mixed box from Built Bar. They give you two of each, sample them, decide which ones you like best, and then order more of those, because not only do you have these great flavors, but they're all covered in 100% chocolate, so they taste great. And not only are Built Bars great tasting, they're healthy. They're loaded with protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. So you have this great tasting bar that is really healthy for you. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So If you're starting into a workout program or need something to give your muscles a little protein boost, highly recommend Built Bar. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, as we look to special teams for the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's kind of funny when you look at their 5-on-4 numbers over the past three seasons. The Lightning are 17th in shots per 60 minutes of 5-on-4 play, 51.6 shots per 60. They are 20th in expected goals per 60, 5.97. However, they're second in goals per 60, 8.96. And, I mean, this is sort of the benefits of having elite talent. You exceed expectations when it comes to things like expected goals, because you know not everybody is Steven Stamkos shooting from the faceoff circle, and not everybody is Nikita Kucherov shooting from those spots. So not everyone is Braden Point in the bumper spot. So Tampa Bay's elite talent really works in their favor on the power play, and then to the penalty kill, it's been solid. 11th in shot attempts against per 60, 90.7. 10th in shots against per 60, a 49.6. But the results are even better. Third in expected goals against per 60 at 5.59. Third in actual goals against per 60 at 5.72. And so surely there is something to be said about their caliber of penalty killing, that the expected goals against is as low as it is, but also you know, they have good goaltending, so you know, maybe Andrei Vasilevskiy doesn't make a massive difference in their penalty killing results, but at the end of the day, they're third in goals against per 60 during 4-on-5 play over the past 3 years, and certainly Vasilevskiy's played a big part in that. I guess when you go through the special teams, you don't see any glaring weaknesses here for the Lightning. I think you could look at their power play and say, yes, maybe they could generate more shots, you know, maybe and maybe shots from better spots to have a higher expected goals. But I mean, what are you complaining about? They're second in goals per 60 over the past three seasons during 5-on-4 play. So kind of I think the special teams are about what you would expect from the Lightning. And so what are remaining needs for this team coming into the season? I mean, the third line is kind of up for grabs, you know, and if it turns out to be the line that I'm forecasting here with Matthew Joseph and Ross Colton and Corey Perry, that might be fine. But I think there's probably some flexibility here that Tampa Bay might be rolling bodies in and out of that line and between the third and fourth line for a while, and until they find the right mix, and you might at some point in the season decide that you need to supplement it, go out and make a trade or something. But I also think that there's kind of an opportunity here for the Lightning to try out younger players and give them a real chance. And so when we're speaking of those younger players, who are some of the prospects kind of in the mix here for Tampa Bay this year? Well, first up is Alex Barré-Boulet. In 10 games for Syracuse last year, he had 8 goals, 4 assists in the American Hockey League. Gets into 15 games with Tampa Bay, scores 3 goals. But I think that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg there for Barré-Boulet, who's a little bit undersized, but has shown that he is skilled enough in the American Hockey League that he deserves a real look in the NHL. And then we've got some wingers who do have some size, and that's right winger Taylor Radish. Had 29 points in 27 games for Syracuse in the American Hockey League, and left winger Boris Kachuk, who had 34 points in 29 games for Syracuse. Radish and Kachuk have been prospects for a few years. I think last year was the third year in the American Hockey League, and so they're kind of reaching that point where it's time to find out whether they are NHL players. Their center, Otto Sompi, who had 26 points in 32 games for Syracuse last year. And then if you're looking for a defenseman, I don't know that they have great options. Sean Day is a possibility. A player who has earned the junior hockey exemption in Canada, where he got the same kind of treatment as a 15-year-old as the likes of John Tavares. And Day's career has not kind of panned out in that same way. But he's got an opportunity with the Lightning, and he had 15 points in 29 games in the American Hockey League last year. It would not surprise me if at some point this season, Sean Day at least got a taste of National Hockey League action. But overall, when we go through this roster, you see a team that are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. They probably have to be considered Stanley Cup contenders again. Losing Blake Coleman, Yanni Gourde, Barclay Goodrow does create a bit of a challenge in their effort for a three-peat. But, I mean, you're really not going to look at this team and think, oh, they have no shot at it. Because I think just based on their top-end talent, they have a shot to be contenders. And then, kind of wait and see how things play out, whether they, augment their roster heading down the stretch and give themselves a shot at a third straight Stanley Cup. I mean, I they're probably not the favorites going into next year, but they're close. And that's really impressive. So full credit to Tampa Bay on their two Stanley Cup wins and for staying in contention for next season, because it sure looks like they are contenders again. Betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. So that will do it for today. We're going to have more off-season reports coming fast and furious as we head towards training camps. Also, check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast as we head down the stretch run in September. Find both these podcasts and subscribe on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.